Welcome to KABU AJ1.
Hello. Thank you for having me. This is a pleasure to be here.
Well, congratulations on your film Diatribe and the upcoming screening at the Cascade Festival of African Films here in Portland on Friday, February 4th. Produced in Portland, Diatribe explores and celebrates rap music in the United States and features Portland artists and offers a profoundly moving tribute to Ghanaian master drummer and Portland legend, Obo Adi. Well, AJ, let's start with your title for this project. And I noticed midway through the film, which I so much enjoyed, you asked Obo Adi about the purpose of the documentary itself that you were making and the concept of Diatribe. Can you speak to that?
Yes. There is only 10 minutes of raw footage, and this documentary was created around that 10 minutes of raw footage. My computer, my battery died, and I went to the car to get the replacement batteries and realized I left them at the house. So I only had 10 minutes of footage.
This now, when you said footage, was it was of Obo Adi?
It was the raw footage of him in the blue shirt that said Jackson High School. This entire documentary was based around that. So we were sitting down and I said, Obo, what do you think about these titles for the show? Beat Science. He went, I don't know. Drum Language. That's good. What about Diatribe? He said, Diatribe. What is that? And I said, It's a vicious verbal attack. It's when you're very upset, you go on this monologuous diatribe. And I said, there's no two groups in the world that have a more distorted stereotype of themselves than those born and raised on the continent and African Americans born and raised here in America. And I said, why don't we create a word that was once negative? And why don't we flip it on its heel and turn it into something positive and just think about the tribalism, the family, and then the Spanish word for day, which is dia. And why don't we combine those together? Let's compound the words. He said, I like that. He said, okay, let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah, that's the title is quite brilliant in its own way, in that sense you noted with day and the tribe playing on how to think about the African diaspora and Black culture throughout the world as a tribe, and in a sense the human tribe, but also this idea of the forceful attack, the aggressiveness,
right,
and the element of resistance to it. Can you say something about that aspect of unity through resistance that you were pursuing here?
Well, the purpose of this, Obo wanted to have hip hop infused into his traditional set that he had done for 30 years through Homowo, through Portland Public Schools, his service with the education system in Washington and Oregon for the past 35 years. And he wanted to have something that had a little bit more of an edge, because he had collaborated with Pink Martini and Joe Thomas and a lot of artists, Eddie Harris. And he wanted to have something that reflected a more vibrant expression that came from the street. And that's why I went to go get Big Snub, Dejanay Fly, Death Row, a lot of the local hip hop artists out here, and one of the foremost best rappers in the Pacific Northwest, and Mike Crenshaw. We joined forces and created an infusion of this rebellious movement. That's again what Diatribe was representing, a diasporic tribal flavor. So compounding the word diaspora and tribe, that was why we wanted to incorporate hip hop and tell a story about it, because Obo said he saw this form of dancing in the 30s and 40s. And I tried to correct him and say, oh, when you were 30 or 40 years old, you saw this? He said, no, 1930s, 1940s. I said, breakdancing came from the Bronx in the 80s. At least that's what I was told. He said, no, I saw this. And when he said it, I had to trust the elder. You know, he said he saw it. And me and a friend, Dr. J.D. Spinks in North Carolina, we have a nonprofit called the Department of Afro-American Research, Arts, and Culture. And it's the largest collection of Black media in the world that we have online. We're building an archive. We have an archive online. And in that, we have some race films from the 20s and 30s. And a lot of the dancing, the breakdancing that Obo was talking about was being performed by the Nicholas Brothers, Mabel Lee, Bill Bailey, Bojangles, the Berry Brothers. And that's the first 5 minutes. You see a montage of this breakdance from almost 100 years ago.
That montage, that historical look at movement where you see the, not only traditions of movement and preserving joy and resilience and resistance through the body, but how innovations are introduced that also draw on earlier traditions. And of course, hip hop is known for sampling, but I think people think of it more in terms of the poetry of hip hop rather than the break dancing. But you really brought in that fusion of movement so beautifully. It itself was a kind of choreographed piece, what you did with that, the historical archival materials. It was worth the watch for that alone.
Right, right. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was imperative that we teach a lesson and we show that this dance not only was being filmed 100 years ago on film, but it stemmed from the continent. We have 54 nations in the motherland, and each one of those nations have a native dance and multiple dances within each nation. So it's important to stretch back and go into the chronology of Blackness and to use it by way of tracing traditional dance and bringing it up to the urban landscape of today. It was imperative that this documentary be a lesson to educate and to entertain as well.
Yeah, can you say a little bit about Obo Adi, who died in 2012 and was well known locally, respected for his work as a drummer and dancer and educator. He taught in many places, including at Lewis and Clark. And you have a spoken word tribute to him at the end that was, I think, one of the most moving lamentations and memorials I've heard in quite some time. Can you say something about what he meant to you?
He meant so much that dedication that you spoke of was kind of a subliminal indictment on the city, because I didn't think that he was given the respect that he deserved. I wanted to come away with this experience and sharing this precious time with him and with all of the work and service that he gave to the city of Portland. I wanted to move on and establish my legacy, seeing that a street, a music center, something was raised in his name or in his honor, because all he wanted to do was play his drums, and he wanted to teach people rhythm to feed the soul. That was the simplicity of everything. And he played with Miss Janice Scroggins, may she rest as well, along with their memory. That trilogy of the three of them, they were with each other for 30-something years, just really working through the city of Portland through the education system, teaching. King Neighborhood, Portland Public Schools, American Music Project, and Obo, he was more than an uncle to me. He was someone that I wanted to spend so much more time with, and I was honored that he instilled trust in me, because we were able to communicate intimately and being able to listen to him without him having to repeat himself. I never said, what'd you say? Excuse me? I didn't hear you. your accent is a little too thick. I made a purpose to get as close to him as possible and listen to him without him ever having to repeat himself. And that was something that instilled that trust. And when it came down time for another director or any other more popular names that had a bigger status in the city of Portland to come in or to possibly be interviewed to direct this, Obo said, no, we got to go with Juan. Juan is going to be the one who brings this all the way through. So that trust and those small times, those little experiences that I had with him last me a lifetime.
You talk with him about the Portland scene, and there's more to it than sometimes is recognized by people in the big metro areas of the country that are more diverse than Portland. It's known to be a predominantly white place, but also a tradition of radicalism here, including Black liberation politics that go way back to the Black Panthers. And Obo Adi talked about Portland as a place he was proud to work and perform in, and that LA and New York are not the only places with a music cultural scene, a Black cultural scene. You had a little ongoing joke about Portland. What did you want to say about Portland as a Black cultural scene?
You're not going to, don't bait me into that. It's only to see. There's 1 minute, or there's 2.5 minutes left here. No, I'm not even going to get into that.
You have some beautiful footage of Portland hip hop scenes. And of course, not only Mike Crenshaw, but other hip hop artists in Portland.
Portland is the place where I learned pretty much everything that I'm doing here in Hollywood. And there were so many people, I mean, countless people, men and women, leaders in the community, politically, civic and social service, that took me under their wing. And if we're talking Ron Herndon, Larry Dunham, Mikhail Shabazz, Obo, Thera, Miss Janice Scroggins, there's so many people. It's an untold amount. And Mr. Ken Berry, everyone had something to send me off with. Like, if I'm going to tell you something, this is what I'm going to tell you. And you nourish yourself with this and you implement this source of wisdom and take it all the way home. I woke up December after my mother and grandfather passed in 2019, and something told me, I think it was Obo, tapped my shoulder and said, finish what you started. You said you were going to take this all the way. So
His spirit is in this and would certainly be shining down on you.
I know. See, the big thing for me is when I got the news that this was going to be the opening night at the Cascade Festival of African Films, and that Janice Hocken is going to interview you from Cable. Cable was my second home. I would be there every Saturday with either Celeste Carey or Eugene Rashad.
Mike Crenshaw also has a strong, deep history with Cable.
Of course he does. That's my brother. And once I got that call, the main thing I thought, I can't cry. I was about to break down right here, just thinking about it. But I wanted to keep my word to him. The most important part of that documentary is at the end when the battery runs out and he says, you'll write this. And he was saying, you'll write this, you're going to make this right. And you're also going to pen this. You're going to orchestrate this and make it right. And I said, right. I'll take care of it. And then the battery just turns off.
It's a profound metaphor for how much we have to find ways of keeping our energy revived and the endurance, the resilience, but also some of the fragility of struggles that require people to hold and pass them on, as you've done so well in this project. And you'll be, as I understand it, you'll be there at the Hollywood Theater Friday, February 4th for a Q&A after the screening. Is that right?
I wouldn't be any other place.
I look forward to being there as well and meeting you in person. And listeners can learn more about the Cascade Festival of African Films, the full program and screenings and the schedule by going to www.africanfilmfestival.org.
And yes,
we'll be posting that on the Old Mole website and podcast as well.
Okay. And if they also wanted to learn more about Diatribe, they can go to www.diatribe.world, and that will give a pretty good account of the basis of what it is and what it will be, because there's a lot more to the story that many people don't know about that's in development right now.
Well, thank you so much, AJ One, for being here today, and congratulations on your film and the incredible tribute it represents to Obo Adi, as well as so many other hip-hop artists, the history they carry. I hope you carry on your own work as well.
That's the plan. Thank you very much. AJ's okay. Coming back home. I'll give you a couple of weeks. So Hollywood's going to be packed to the hilt, too.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Take care. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.